On the 3rd of June 1989, the whole of Iran went into mourning. A magnanimous life had come to an end. One that inspired a nation to do something the world never expected, to topple a regime and bring an end to centuries of monarchical rule. These are the scenes of a nation grieving, more than a million people marching in unison, men, women and children, to say farewell to their leader. Imam Khomeini is the face behind a revolution that brought about a drastic shift of power in Iran and left certain nations who relied on Iran as a regional ally nonplussed. Adopting an indifferent stance towards those world powers that considered themselves the titans of global politics, Imam Khomeini led Iran into a new age. And what no critic had predicted did come to pass. Iran became an Islamic Republic. But the true test was yet to come, with the leader of the Islamic Revolution at the helm. 8 years of war. In 1980, Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein attacked Iran. In 1988, the war came to an end, with Imam Khomeini reluctantly signing a UN-brokered truce. Almost a million Iranians died as a result of the war, and a year later Khomeini himself succumbed to illness, leaving a victorious but crippled nation to pick up the pieces without him. But it's his life, not his death, that Iranian people think of when they commemorate Khomeini. Iran's Islamic Revolution of 1979 was a true example of civil resistance. It was the result of a battle waged by an unhappy nation against one of the region's most powerful military regimes. And it was the sheer number of Iranians that took to the streets in protest that finally dwarfed the Shah's army and won the struggle. But what preceded the uprising? What were the people upset about, and where did they get the courage to force a change? Well, one of the pressing issues of the day was the economy. There was an enormous gap between the majority of people living in poverty and the minority elite living in the lap of luxury. And this crisis was exacerbated by the close relationship forged between the Shah's regime and countries like the US and Israel. In the years before the Islamic Revolution, unemployment was rife. Iran's domestic manufacturing and the jobs that come with production were practically non-existent. Foreign imports flooded in, saturating the market and crippling the economy. The voice of the majority in strife was not penetrating the walls of the palace, where officials from Washington and Tel Aviv came and went, smiling genially. But there was another issue weighing heavily on the Iranian people. The issue of Islam, the religion adhered to by the majority. The Shah and his father before him made it very clear that they saw progress in fading out at least the appearance of Islam to make Iran more like Western nations. This was not taken well by Muslim clerics, one of which was Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, who continued his fight against the Pahlavi monarch from exile. His sermons were smuggled into Iran and dispersed among the people, who had been primed by degradation to receive the message wholeheartedly. It was in the early 1970s, while in Iraq, that Khomeini began talking about the guardianship of the jurists. His belief was that laws derived from tradition and Islamic Sharia should be applied in Iran, a nation with a predominantly Muslim population. This, he believed, could not be done by a non-Muslim state. So the government itself would have to be an Islamic one. His sermons on this topic were later published in the book entitled Islamic Government.
ولایت فقیه یعنی زعامت و مدیریت سیاسی یک شخصیت تربیت یافته در مکتب قرآن، یک شخصیتی که توانسته است آموزه های دین را از منابع او، از قرآن کریم، از کلمات رسول مکرم اسلام، از کلمات امامان بزرگوار استنباط و استخراج کرده باشد و با آراستگی خیش به عمل صالح به مقام عدالت دست یافته باشد و در سایه تدبیر و مدیریت شایسته ظرفیت اداری جامعه اسلامی رو داشته باشه.
Jurisprudence affects every aspect of a person's life, so a government based on jurisprudence also has a profound effect on its people in more than just politics.
امام هم که فرمود فقه ما از گهواره تا گور و نسبت به همه مسائل و موضوعات حرف برای گفتن داره. البته امام هر نگرش و هر روش فقهی رو هم بر نمیتابند، یک مبدع یک روش جدید هستند و اون هم برمیگرده به اینکه ما زمان و مکان رو در موضوع دخالت بدیم، توجه به مسائل مستحدثه داشته باشیم، که باز اینم برمیگرده به یک قرائت خاصی از فلسفه اجتماعی امام که از نظر بنده اون نهایتاً به رابطه عموم خصوص من وجه بین دین و جامعه برمیگرده.
Thus it was that in 1979 Imam Khomeini called for a referendum to establish whether or not the people wanted an Islamic government. On the 2nd and 3rd of December 1979, the people flocked to the ballot boxes. It was a pivotal moment in history when over 98% voted for Khomeini's Islamic Republic.
امام اولین کارشون این بود که بیان از مردم رأی بگیرن ببینن جمهوری اسلامی رو قبول دارن یا نه، با اینکه داشتن، یا از مردم رأی بگیرن بیان برای مجلس، رأی بگیرن برای دولت، یعنی نظام مردم سالاری دینی رو به تمام معنا امام عملی کردن و بعد از امام هم همین گونه داره عمل میشه.
امام خمینی's Islamic Republic had two main criteria: Islamic Sharia and the will of the people. All laws passed would have to be in harmony with Islamic teachings, and the Iranian people were to be empowered, a people that thus far had had no real say in the way their country was run.
راهبرد امام تکیه بر توده های مردم بود، توده های میلیونی مردم. امام هیچ نگاهی به خارج از کشور نداشتند، به غرب و شرق. یک روشی رو امام بنیان نهادند و اون یک حرکت ملی برخواسته از متن توده های مردم با الهام از مبانی دینی و اسلامی بود.
Khomeini's slogan, not Eastern, not Western, but an Islamic Republic, meant that this movement stood on its own two feet and could not be associated with any other. This, the establishment of an Islamic government, has given rise to a play on words. Since Khomeini took the helm, the term political Islam has been bandied about, suggesting that there is a secular form of Islam also, a form that separates religion from politics.
یک سوال اساسی وجود داره اینجا که احکام اسلامی که در فقه متعالی ما آمده آیا زمینه و بستر اجرایی میخواهد یا نه؟ آیا بدون تشکیل و حکومت میشود اقامه عدل کرد؟ می شود عدالت را بسط داد؟ می شود تحقق بخش احکام اسلامی بود؟ خب اگر این فرض محال باشد که محال است، پس ناگزیر بایستی اقدام به تشکیل حکومت کرد و قبل از تشکیل حکومت بایستی مقدماتش را فراهم کرد.
So the question is not whether Islam separates religion and politics, but whether it ever considered them independent entities in the first place. The term political Islam was a term that was actually conceived in the West. It was not a term that was ever used in the Islamic world before Western powers started to talk about it. But they wanted to make a distinction between Islam as a religion and Islam as a political force. In 1979, the new founded Islamic Republic took its first step towards independence by terminating any connections or trade agreements that were detrimental to Iran, making it dependent on another country. During the Pahlavi rule, one tactic the West used to control the Iranian society and gain popular support, especially among the youth of the country, was through cultural imperialism. This happens when one culture is deliberately imposed on another, forcing the traditions and beliefs of the target society into obscurity. This infiltration can cause an identity crisis in the victimized culture and leave it dependent on its aggressor.
در دوران جدید ما یک استعمار نوی داشتیم، یک استعماری که در قالب سیاست‌های رژیم پهلوی الغا شده بود، اعمال شده بود و عمدتاً هم قالب‌های فرهنگی و نرم رو اختیار کرده بود و امام به عنوان فرزند این زاد و بوم، به عنوان یک رهبر دینی تاب و تحمل این وابستگی رو نداشتن.
A year after the revolution, Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein attacked Iran. An eight-year war ensued. Totally isolated, the Iranian nation stood its ground with the one truly effective weapon it had, a people determined to make their leader proud. 1 million Iranians died during the war. When the war finally ended and the dust settled, Iran's new establishment was left to rebuild its obliterated infrastructure, cater to the wounded and disabled, and the victims of chemical weapons, now with the added pressure of ongoing US-led sanctions.
الان دنیا ثبات ایران را و ثبات نظام ما و اسلام در حقیقت انقلاب اسلامی رو پذیرفته و دیده و اینکه امروز این روی کرد پیدا شده و اینکه طی 30 سال تجربه ها نشون داد خصومت ها دشمنی ها نتوانست انقلاب اسلامی را از پا در بیاره، جنگ نتوانست، کودتا نتوانست، تهاجم فرهنگی نتوانست، تحریم اقتصادی نتوانست، تحریم های علمی نتوانست و ایران همچنان به فضل خدا و در سایه رهبری های حضرت امام امروز مقام معظم رهبری داره پیش میره.
So the Islamic Revolution, by all accounts, was an amazing feat of determination, not only on the part of its instigator Imam Khomeini, but on the part of the Iranian people. The combination of a disgruntled population, a dogmatic regime, and the conviction of Imam Khomeini brought about what none of the oil-hungry nations that fed off Iran's subservient regime could have imagined. Iran, slap bang in the heart of the Middle East, went from puppet regime obedient to Washington to Islamic Republic determined to terminate any parasitic relationship that denied it full independence. And in recent months, the drums of revolution have been heard echoing across the region once again. Authoritarian regimes in the Arab world and northern Africa have been taking a beating. And over in Iran, the sounds of revolution are all too familiar.
حوادث امروز شمال آفریقا، کشور مصر، کشور تونس، برخی کشورهای دیگر برای ما ملت ایران معنای دیگری دارد. معنای خاصی دارد. این همون چیزی است که همیشه به عنوان حدوث بیداری اسلامی به مناسبت پیروزی انقلاب بزرگ اسلامی ملت ایران گفته میشد.
After all Iran went through to change history 32 years ago and the struggle since, it's perfectly conceivable for Iranians that these revolutions can and will succeed.
امروز ما شاهد رویش اندیشه سیاسی حضرت امام در کشورها و بلاد اسلامی هستیم. تفکری که در بازگشت به اسلام و بازگشت به قدرت ملت اسلام معنا پیدا می‌کرد. پیام امام این بود مسلمانان باید به آموزه‌های اسلامی و دینی بازگردند، مسلمانان باید هویت ملی و اسلامی خودشون رو زنده بنمایند، باید به قدرت ملی خیش تکیه بنمایند. ما این معنا رو در شعار و سخن امام مطرح کردیم و در تاریخ انقلاب اسلامی تثبیت نمودیم.
But there are those that say the recent revolutions are driven by secularists and have nothing to do with Islam. These are the different points of view regarding the role of Islam in the region's recent upheavals. News channels have made a point of stressing that the revolutions going on in countries like Egypt are strictly secular, but the footage coming out of these countries have a story of their own to tell. Could say the only difference between the nations now in upheaval is their geopolitical situation and maybe their cultural characteristics, in short, the surface.
تردیدی نیست که یکی از آرزوها و حتی شعارهایی که در منطقه مشاهده میشه حکایت از استقلال خواهی به اصطلاح مسلمانهای منطقه داره. اونها هم میخوان که خلعیدی صورت بگیره از نفوذ و سلطه بیگانگان. اما اگر دقت کرده باشید جهت این خلعید هم یک جهت دینی و اسلامی است، اما خب با تفاوت‌هایی. به هر حال اونجا زمینه اجتماعی و فرهنگی و تاریخی متفاوتی دارند. اونجا بیشتر اهل سنت حاکم هست تا در واقع برادران اهل تشیع. خب اینها در واقع یک دلالت هایی داره، یک ویژگی هایی رو ایجاد میکنه.
But all the recent revolutions have all occurred in Muslim nations. And if we look at the teachings of Islam, we find that one of the fundamental rights of every Muslim is to defend himself, his family and others who are being oppressed, Muslim or otherwise, against tyranny. And in all these Arab and African nations, the people were fed up with basically the same thing. A dogmatic, all-powerful regime and a foreign power dominating over that totalitarian regime. Richard H. Dekmejian, the author of the Islamic movements in the Arab world, like many European critics, has a secular and rather materialistic perspective of recent events. But he too sees a direct connection between Iran's Islamic revolution and those now in the making. Ayatollah Khomeini is still a source of admiration for the Muslims of Egypt, Algeria, Syria, Jordan and Tunisia, Lebanon and Libya, in such a manner that it seems Iran's revolutionary experience has become a successful model of victory. So much so that at the present time these groups consider the Iranian revolution to be a model and while changing their strategies have asked for the creation of populist uprisings in universities and on the streets. When in Egypt, Hosni Mubarak came into power in 1981, Iran's leader Ayatollah Khomeini warned him against tyranny. He also called on the Egyptian military to side with the people, but to no avail. The Egyptian army should beware not to support this government, which has pledged allegiance to America and Israel and says it will throttle anyone who speaks about Islam. The army shouldn't share the shame of this and shouldn't give Israel a chance to return or allow America to rule over Egypt. Now, 30 years later, Mubarak has been toppled by a popular uprising and is standing trial for corruption and much more, while the military does its best to win over the people completely.
اونجا میفهمن که ارتش رو محکوم نمیکنن. ارتش رو خطاب قرار میدن، مورد خطاب قرار میدن که به نقش تاریخی خودت عمل کن، توجه داشته باش، وابسته نباش و بیا و در واقع اقدامی کن. این کلیتی است که من در صحبت‌های امام دیدم و جالبه که اینجا این اتفاق رخ داد و ارتش این کارو کرد. به هر حال ارتش آمد به دست گرفت و باعث فروپاشی به هر حال زود هنگام و به موقع حسنی مبارک شد.
Of course, people in that time, they started a movement but their movement was oppressed. Again, this power raised after the demise of Imam Khomeini.
A fundamental difference between Iran's revolution and Egypt's is that Egyptians do not have a unifying figure or leader to rally behind. Critics believe that if they did, their revolution might have happened much earlier.
متاسفانه هنوز این جنبش ها تا اونجایی که من اطلاع دارم رهبری واحد نداره و این به نظر من یک خلأ که بایستی چاره اندیشی بکنن، سعی بکنن یک رهبری رو پیدا بکنن که جامع تمام جهات باشه، آشنا به مبارزه و راهبردها و تاکتیک های مبارزه باشه، بتونه مستجمع جمیع در واقع گروه ها باشه، چیزی که در انقلاب اسلامی رخ داد.
The leader of the Islamic Revolution was a man who knew the importance of unity. And as the unifying figure of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini made a point of eradicating divisions between Shia and Sunni Muslims. He issued a creed that Shia Muslims can pray behind a Sunni cleric and encouraged his followers to say the five prayers separately like Sunnis do every day. By uniting Shia and Sunni and thereby preventing sectarian divides, Khomeini broke the barrier created by factions and introduced Islam to the world in a completely different and superior manner.
He believed in people. He believed in the mustaz'afin, the oppressed people of the world. He believed in the power of mustaz'afin because it was taken from the endless power of Allah. That was the, and you see it in the crystallized in the system of the government, Islamic Republic of Iran. The role that people play is a wide role.
Every year, the life and death of Imam Khomeini is commemorated in Iran. All those who shed blood for the revolution or lost loved ones to the Iran-Iraq war gather for this memorial and remember the days of resistance. And for this monumental event, people from foreign countries also gather in Tehran.
در جامعه جهانی ارزش‌هایی را مطرح کردند که قبل از امام این ارزش‌ها به فراموش سپرده شده بودند، مثل استقلال، آزادی. همه کشورها خصوصا کشورهای اسلامی باور نمی‌کردند که یک روزی بشه که یک کشور اسلامی جدای از شرق و غرب بتونه زندگی خودش و حیات خودش ادامه بده.
The idea of Imam Khomeini has been taught to us on, even we are not Iranian, but still we watching the TV on the particular day of the revolution or listening to his idea and the way of life, and he living the life in a very humble way. These are the things that to teach the people and make us all to know that they cannot divide it out at all. It has to be in. That's the reason why it comes to what we have seen Iran of today.
شو می‌خواستن که تمام مسلمانان جهان با هم جمع بشن، دست در دست هم بدن و مردم ما به ثبات برسونیم که ما با هم یکی هستیم.
You know, Imam Khomeini, the character is the best one for the leader of the Muslim. And all, even not in here, in Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, they believe and accept the way of life of Imam Khomeini.
It is a world phenomenon to see people, millions of people welcoming him back in such thing with the idea that's given in the tape. Because of the love and the idea that he's given, never been died. He's never died.
Imam, حرکتی که داشتن با مردم بود و ادامه ی حرکتش هم با مردم بوده. امروز هم اگر این انقلاب اسلامی وجود داره، دوباره با مردم بودنش. لذا حکومتی که بدون مردم بشه، این به غیر از استبداد هیچ چیزی نیست.
Khomeini lived for 87 years. During his lifetime, he created many tremors across Iran and the world. and influence millions with his steadfast determination and faith in his cause. It was that steely resolve, mirrored in his stern brows and composed features, that made his dream of an Islamic Republic a reality. To the very last, he lived like any ordinary Iranian, but to his people, he was far from ordinary. To the millions of Iranians that took to the streets with his name on their lips, and all those men and women who fought a seemingly unwinnable war with only his words as their driving force, there will never be another Khomeini.